The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
Hey everyone, before we get into this week's show, I do want to point out one problem with the audio. We didn't realize it while we were recording this one session, but for whatever reason, the track that was supposed to be recording my voice became corrupt in the file, and though we tried to repair it, it doesn't sound good. On the plus side, I don't talk that much in the show, so that the noise that you do hear will be not very frequent, and it... You still get the story in there. So I apologize for that. I will have you note that it looks like the next two episodes after this do not have that problem. So thank you for your understanding and enjoy the show.
Welcome to Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers Dungeons & Dragons podcast. Thank you so much for downloading and listening this week as the adventures of the Lords of the Feywild continue. Frederico, continue.
Right, so... last time...
Mr. Sulu Boys.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
We decided that Sulu was...
Right. My fellow Americans... No, that's my other terrible impression. So, last time on Critical Hit, I believe the party had spent some time talking to some elves about everything that's wrong in the Everdeep Forest and had decided to make their way to... Memphendian, which is a town that is very close to the edge of the forest, where was basically the last known coordinate of Randus's parents. Does that sound right?
Sounds right.
Yep.
And we did ask some elves.
Right. Yep.
With this scroll ascending.
So
yes, I sent them my scroll. Because it's not written down anymore.
As I recall, yet another crappy Eagles roll was made, so I'm gonna have to ask you guys to spend another one on Eagles and make another roll. Actually, you don't need to make the roll. Even at the crappiest, it'll get you to the edge of the forest.
Good.
Orym, Ket, Randus, Torque, and Trell are on the backs of some enormous magical eagles. And as the duration of the ritual winds down, it basically gets them right to the edge of the forest. Past the edge of the forest... it is pretty clear to see that there is a small camp, and appears to be maybe upwards of a dozen people, along with horses and at least one wagon.
Approach with caution.
Okay.
Randus, does this look like your family?
Maybe. Let's go get a closer look.
A rider comes out of the camp. She has fairly dark skin, and has her hair kind of in a deliberately messy mohawk, basically, like just down the middle and just kind of a bunch. She's young. She looks like she's in her mid-20s, and is wearing a big poncho that has these kind of alternating geometrical patterns in blacks and earth tones. So diamonds, X's, circles, and things like that, just kind of in different shades of brown and black. On the poncho itself is something that's kind of like a badge. It has four triangles kind of next to each other. Essentially, if you think of like long isosceles triangles with the shortest edge pointing up and all in a row. And kind of they all have like a weird, like a little bit of a curve to them. She rides over to meet you.
Does she seem to be in any way threatening?
Not really. She doesn't even seem to be armed.
Okay.
Everybody looking at me?
Everybody's looking at Randus.
Hello?
Well. Looks like the old man was right. Since Randus stepped up, you must be Randus?
Yes.
And Orym, Torque, Trell, Ket?
Mm-hmm.
I'm Trell, he's Ket.
Right. My name is Moth. I received a promise for significant payment to get you all safely to Memphendian.
Very good.
From who?
You're a friend of Stagsy's, aren't you?
Friend is putting it one way.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
How
far are we from it?
From Memphendian? Only about a day's ride.
Okay. She squeezes Randus's shoulder.
All right. So are we going to be leaving soon?
No, we're camped for the night.
Oh, okay.
But we'll leave at first light.
Very
and
well.
She, you know, turns the horse around and starts heading back. You know, at a pretty slow clip.
Follow.
I gotta say, I don't think I've ever seen anybody riding an enormous eagle before. That's quite a trick.
Thank you.
Have you had any encounters with the lunar monsters?
Not this time around, but I have in the past. I do a lot of traveling, and those things are all over the place. But we've got guards. We should be okay.
Is this lady a human?
Yes.
Okay.
So you guys get back to the camp, and there are probably about 14 people. They're all, we'll say, maybe the majority of them are male. They mostly have either long hair, or are bald, and uniformly across the guys, they all have facial hair. They have, you know, the guys who can't swing it have some form of stubble, but most of them have either a goatee or a full beard, or maybe just like a big bushy mustache. And then the women actually are all either their heads are completely shaven or they have kind of a similar mohawk to hers.
Do they wax the mustaches up at the ends?
These guys look like they are, if not mercenaries, then they're like travelers and stuff. So they probably don't take a lot of showers. So they probably don't have to wax them. The mustaches just do it on their own.
So that yes. Zeb Coulter, disturbing kind of vibe there.
Yep. Nah, I mean, these guys are just, you know, travelers. And, you know, a lot of them are armed. They seem to be an armed guard. They don't look particularly sketchy. I mean, I'm sure a couple of them do, but, you know.
We also look sketchy, I'm sure.
You guys certainly look weird.
I don't think we're sketchy so much as...
unusual.
Highly really depends unusual. On who's drawn us lately.
Yeah.
And more impressionistic. I'm fully...
Wow.
Really?
I was drawn by Wally Wood with inks by Jack Kirby, I believe.
I think Randis would be very modern.
And Trell, I'm pretty sure, was drawn by that guy from American Beauty.
So you guys arrive at the camp and are led to the center of it. And she... points at some tents that are closer to the center. It says, those three tents are for you.
Thank you.
Sure. We'll have chow ready to go here in just a little bit.
Chow nods.
And she actually got off the horse right as they got to the edge of camp and somebody came by and grabbed it. They do have the horses tied up over there on the, we'll say, the western edge of camp.
Trell ignores horses.
Okay.
How far away are we from the forest now? Are we, like, 100 yards, 100 feet?
You can... not 100 feet. probably, I would say, a good 200 yards. You know, long enough that if something comes sprinting out of it, they'd be able to see it.
So what is the arrangement? Is it arrangement of camp?
There are four tents that are kind of the center of it, and three of those are yours. Then there's maybe four more tents that are kind of spread out. There's big bonfire right in the center, and a couple of these like kind of iron like baskets that have these like grasses in them that are also burning. I mean, these guys are doing their best to be very visible,
and
it also provides more light.
No wagons or anything?
There's one wagon. And as you walk by it, you see that it's actually, it's got a couple crates and it's got like a, like three or four like pole axes. It's just kind of a little odds and ends wagon. Probably because they didn't know how long they were going to be waiting for you guys.
Hey, Randis.
Yeah?
Why don't you come to a tent with me?
Okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
Hey, Tork and Ket. You guys coming to this tent with me?
Is it a different tent?
Why don't we follow them into this tent with me?
What?
Okay, who's going first?
I think you are.
Okay. So, she gestures at what's in the tent. Anything?
Nope. Pretty much nothing.
Paragraph.
Okay. Trell like sits on the floor and opens her bag and gets out the the Twilight Guardian scroll that she got, the case. And she opens it up with her tattoo and pulls out one of the sheets of paper. And so she gets out the case and she opens it with her tattoo. Vines flick it open and melt the seal. And she pulls out a sheet of paper from it, leaves the other one in there, and hands it to Randis. Hey, do you know what this symbol means at all?
Not exactly.
Okay. Do you want me to hug you? She just stares at him.
I don't know.
Okay, well, I'll do this and then you tell me if you don't like it, okay?
I guess.
So she kind of, is he sitting?
He's just kind of standing there.
Okay. So she tugs him down to the floor with her and kind of cuddles up behind him. Hey.
Hi.
So there's some stuff that the elves are trying to figure out with these trees. I thought maybe you could look at it for me.
I could look.
Okay. Well, the problem is, and I don't know if you, I don't think you were at this, the other meeting. Okay. So there are these trees and, the hailstorm gave us a lot more water. And when there's a certain, water height, these trees kind of put out this really gross poison. So the elves thought, okay, maybe we could, get rid of these trees, but unfortunately the problem with that is that they are really important to the ecosystem, and killing them will also kill off a lot of other trees that are, and plants and things that are connected to them. Rodrigo, correct me if any of that's wrong.
That sounds right.
Okay. So I think that, I mean, you work with nervous systems and stuff, so I thought I thought maybe you might know a way where maybe the trees could be killed, but maybe excess roots and things in their outer limbs could be paralyzed so they didn't know or something like that. I'm trying to figure out a solution to it. And the whole time she's talking to him, she just kind of like has her chin on his shoulder and is just kind of just quietly talking in his ear.
Look into it. So the toxin that they produce, is that what inhibits the growth of the other trees, or
they're giving to, yes, yes. They're also killing off, like certain, oh, no, no,
no, no, the toxin's killing the fish.
Yeah.
Toxin's killing the fish.
The trees keep the other fish. Trees alive through the root systems.
Ah,
kill the trees, fish live, trees die. Keep the trees, fish die, trees live.
Thank you.
The main thing I would maybe consider is, I don't know if you'd want to possibly add something to the water to potentially counteract the venom. I don't know what potential side effects that may result in, but that might be able to at least reduce some of the problems.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the things they wanted me to figure out for them, and, you know, they kind of wanted me to make a decision between the two, and I didn't like either of those. So I'd appreciate it if when we go back, you could help stare at those with me.
Yeah, I could look at that, see what I can find from the substance that those trees produce, mm-hmm. see what could be done.
Thank you. How you doing?
Still pretty worried. I just really kind of can't wait to get there, and hopefully we can find him.
We will. And she squeezes his hand. And she is just koalaed onto his back.
Somebody comes around. They don't walk into the tent, but they shout in, "Food's ready."
You want to eat?
Maybe a little.
Okay. Let's go get food.
You guys also get somebody.
Yes, we also are out getting food.
Yep.
We're just hanging
out. Food's gone.
Mm-hmm. I need a couple of hands of diamond back. Are we done doing that thing where we pretend we can't hear nobody?
Okay. I don't think you guys could hear that conversation. I mean, you guys are like, aside from Ked, you guys are like the terrible wisdom party.
I got great big
which somehow...
Actually, Tork and I probably have about the same on wisdom.
Well, there you go.
Hmm.
You can't hear each other over how badly you can read people.
Hey, my wisdom is pretty good if you look at it.
Yeah.
Upside down.
Yeah.
It's like a 42.
Yeah, it's like a theta.
It says high.
So, yeah, you guys.
System is better than mine.
Oh, there you go. You guys are beckoned onto the center of the camp. Everybody's gathered there. They're passing around bowls full of some stew, and there also appear to be these. Kind of these little grasses, kind of like alfalfa type things that, you know, are available for people to put on their stew.
Try a couple of bites of the stew.
That's decent.
Smell the alfalfa thing.
It smells like plant.
Crumble up some, put it on top. Like, yeah. I assume some of the other people there.
Oh, sure.
Are.
Yeah, that's what they're doing with it.
Try it again.
It's okay. I mean, it adds a little bit of a vegetably crunch to it. This is clearly traveling food. They're not, you know.
It's better than the granola. At least the uncooked granola.
Moth is, seems to be coordinating a couple of people to switch watches or whatever, and then she comes over and sits down with you guys. So, you guys know Stagsy?
Well, Trail knows Stagsy. Just only known him for a short time.
I see. Well,
yeah, he's a really good friend.
Yeah, I mean, he's sparing no expense, so I would imagine that he is.
And he loves money.
He does that. So, let's see. She, taps her spoon to her lips a few times. I'm gonna guess the big guys from Diamond Throne and Environs. Maybe this one, too. She points at Randus.
Generally, yes.
She looks over at Trell. You look like an Everdeep elf, but... I'm not all that well versed in elven culture.
That's right. I'm just wearing weird clothes right now.
I see. And she looks at Kat. Coldport.
Rob has no idea.
Trell stares at Kat.
Well, Coldport is the biggest city in the Freelands, which is presumably where Kat is from.
Yeah, thereabouts.
And she points over at Orym. I have no idea where you're from.
That seems about right.
He's from the Feywild.
I thought he seemed like an Eladrin, but I've actually never seen one before, so I didn't want to be rude.
Oh, right, right.
Long far, like pretty far away from home.
Well, not her.
Oh, I was talking about Orym.
Yes, I suppose. Could look at it that way.
I imagine that the physical distance is not really the issue, though.
About right.
Where are you from?
I'm from around here. I wasn't born in Memphendian, but I've spent most of the time when I'm not traveling, I'm back in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do?
Mostly I just go around and try to get people to get along with each other. So that we can trade goods.
Lawbringer?
No. Nothing so official. I'm just... My family is particularly good at traveling and talking. So, you know, we were pretty instrumental in building Memphendian and negotiating with the elves to have a settlement so close to the forest and... I've just kept up the tradition. I'm a devil bear, so if that means...
Sorry, what? I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, a walking devil bear? That's my clan.
Oh. But you're not really like a devil.
I am not actually a bear, no.
Oh, okay.
That's not what bears look like.
So, is that why you have your thing there? It looks like claws and like that?
That's right.
That's pretty cool.
This is our clan symbol.
That's a cool clan name.
I like that.
Oh, yeah, thanks. The,
we should get a good clan name.
A good party name.
Well, there are new clans every once in a while, but for that to mean anything, around here at least, you have to get some form of spirit patronage.
I think he just means a name for our group.
Oh. Well, what do you guys do usually?
I don't know. Well, if we was going to go by what we do, we could call ourselves the Fireball Fighty Nearly Dead Guys.
That's a little, it's a little much.
Yeah, but can you imagine just yelling it as you run into like pedal?
Actually, the Nearly Dead Men would be...
That'd be...
Would be a good good company name.
It's not unisex, though.
True.
What?
Nearly Dead People doesn't have the same ring, though.
It's true.
We could go with Nearly Dead Folk, but...
The Nearly Deads?
We're all not just nearly dead. We're almost not sincerely dead. But, or something. We'll work on
it. You can... We'll bounce some ideas later.
As long as we don't get a bunch of singing gnomes or something.
First thing we've got to do is we got to wrap up this whole Memphendian business like it there.
Well, once we're in town, Stagsy has also arranged for rooms for you. So, and I'll be your contact. So once we're there, if you guys need anything, you just need to let me know. And just
Stagsy.
Stay as long as you want.
Did they
we
say
are
they
kind of pressed for time, so we do need to take care of business and move on.
That's understandable.
What were you saying, Tork?
Did they say they was bugbears or bear bugs or something out there? I thought somebody said we might meet up with bugbears.
I think he was just speaking hypothetically about me.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask because I thought maybe she might have some input. Cause
I haven't met any bugbears either.
Well, but I am curious. Have you heard or seen a lot of attacks on caravans, travelers through the area?
Oh, yeah.
How often do those occur? What are usually attacking? Moon monsters or...
Yes, we've also had a few problems with, these renegade spirits. We have, a lot of the houses have recalled their bright ones so that we can, kind of approach this more, in a more, whole sense rather than just sending random people out to investigate. There's gonna be a moot about it pretty soon, but it takes a long time to get everybody back.
What are the creatures that are doing the most attacking?
Mostly the lunar monsters, I would say.
Which, I mean, there's a lot of different types of lunar monsters.
The reports that I've heard are there's a few different kinds. There's a bunch of these kind of about dog-sized, spiny creatures.
Traveling packs.
Yes. There's also some kind of underground burrowing worm that's causing problems. There's also a few kind of little jumping critters. They only have like they just have a pair of legs and this really large head with a beak, and they're just kind of spend a lot of time moving around trying to chase down a larger game, as it were, but clearly they're not above attacking people.
I see. And do these are in random spots, or do they look like they're coordinated around certain areas?
Honestly, I don't know. We do have rangers, and they do get sent out regularly to make sure that the paths are clear. But if there is any sort of pattern to them, I don't know it. Some of them behave in the way that you would expect a normal pack of predators to behave. Some of them don't. So it's difficult. It's difficult to tell.
What is your relationship with the elves?
Of the Everdeep? We generally have a good working relationship. We have treaties going back a couple hundred years about the amount of wood that we're allowed to get from the Everdeep.
Is it an adequate amount?
For us, yes. They do a good job of replacing the trees, and we pitch in with that as well to a certain degree. Largely in other means, because they're actually very particular about where they place the trees. So even a lot of the times, even when we want to help, they don't let us.
Yeah, they have to go in the right spot.
That's what I hear.
Charles says it with like
authority.
Crazy eyes.
Yeah.
The elves are having a problem in the Everdeep with a large horde of the we call them lizard monkey type creatures.
Mm-hmm. You need to come up with a better name.
We're not going to be able to come up with a better name.
Okay, clearly. Yeah, we've just established that. Never mind.
So it may be beneficial, if we can figure out a pattern of where they're coming from, that some aid may be lent to take care of the problem in the Everdeep.
If the Everdeep elves need our help, all they have to do is ask. We are also somewhat strapped for resources, but we have some available. And different clans have different relationships with them. So for all I know, there's clans out there that have warriors pledged to them under certain circumstances and things like that.
Randis.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could catalog them, the different types of lunar monsters, and then you could name them. And don't humans name the things after themselves? She's like kind of clapping her hands, trying to like
very visibly trying to cheer him up.
So you want to name all the horrible monsters after Randus?
Guthanicus Lizardus?
Yeah, yeah, like that. Lunus something. Randus.
Yes, Lunus Randus Monstrosus.
Yeah.
You should call them Moonsters because they's monsters from the moon.
That's pretty good.
Because you have like Lizardus, Monkeyus, Moonster, and
oh my god,
Big Mamasaurus.
Almost 4 years without that happening.
Oh, we spent almost three of it in.
Yeah, not yes. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the first monsters we fight are from the moon. How have we not called them Moonsters yet?
Well, sometimes we're a little slow.
How did that?
I love how this.
Sometimes we're a little slow.
Rob's done for a while.
I got there, so that's fine.
Yes, Trell visibly trying to cheer him up.
You guys are fun.
Oh, are we?
I think so. I mean, you're better conversation than these guys. She kind of points at her men. And I'm like, rah.
Are you the boss of these guys?
I am. Their families are pledged to mine.
Wow. I like your hair.
Thanks, I like yours.
Thank you.
I try not to let it show, but I do like to take care of my hair.
Trell nods. Yeah, braiding is a big thing, but and she's like touching her own hair. I just need to find the right beads and arrangement for things, and I haven't.
Probably
like a lot of the elves you saw in Everdeed had like lots of braid stuff going on.
Yeah, but I gotta say my main question about whether you were from the Everdeep is because of your hairstyle. It doesn't seem to be common. That and that tattoo on your hand.
This is Do you know what a Twilight Guardian is?
I've heard of them.
Well, when you're a little kid and a Twilight Guardian thinks that you've done something impressive or something, they put... It's kind of like a seed. They give you like a little tattoo of this kind of seed thing on your wrist. And most of them don't do anything, but in the past few years, mine got bigger. I thought I would get, like, you know, some kind of great, awesome wisdom or something with it, but I didn't. It just kind of stayed the same. So something's going on there, and she kind of shakes her arm. But my hair's pretty. You know, when some of them are about relationships and stuff, and so sometimes you break up with people and you get upset and cut your hair. And yeah, stuff. But eventually I'll figure out what I'm doing there.
With your hair.
Yeah.
Right. I've actually had this hairstyle for quite some time. When I found it, I thought that it actually looked pretty good, so I stuck
with it.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
I've been thinking about letting some of the rest of my hair grow out and maybe making some like ridges around my head. I know that some people can pull that off, but
nice.
It would be it would be a risk that I'm not willing to take. Definitely not when I'm going out and meeting with people from outside of the seven clans.
Right.
They, I wouldn't want my haircut to offend anyone.
Right, right.
Orm stands up. And as he does,
right. That was
perfect. Very fascinating, but I'm very tired.
No.
And I head off. Good night. Thank you for your hospitality. Everyone, gentlemen, ladies.
Captain. Doctor.
All right. Orm goes off.
Is it because I didn't flatter his hair?
Are you asking me? I don't know him.
I'm asking the group at large. Right. Like, Torque and Arandis mostly, probably. I like his hair, too. He just doesn't, you know, he doesn't really do anything with it.
He could actually be tired.
That's true.
I find that sometimes if you figure that Orm doesn't mean to be rude, he's actually doesn't, then he kind of doesn't say nothing. But that, you figure that he can't be, because, yeah, he's probably mad about his hair.
Interesting.
Ket stands up, shakes his head, and follows Orm.
Okay.
Your hair's nice too, Ket.
Just wave behind.
I like the little frosty bits on top.
No.
Ket does not
have frosted tips.
I don't think. Come on.
Gross. A little too difficult to pull off on the road.
Yeah.
Not canon, sorry.
Yeah. Actually, your friend does have really nice hair. I know there's a lot of men around here that would be very happy to have hair like his.
Yeah, it's very soft.
So tomorrow we're going to go towards Memphendi in the end.
Memphendi, yes. We should get there pretty close to early evening. And then we'll get you guys to your lodging and you can do whatever you want in town.
In terms of the stuff with the... Well, I sounded real smart there for a minute. Well, when you talk about, you said there were some people sometimes that would attack people. Are there like giant bands of marauding wastrels, or is it just like some little guys popping out of the forest here and there?
There's all kinds of things. I mean, sometimes we didn't encounter anything on this trip, and we've kept this road very clear.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been caravans that have twice as many armed people that have just been completely wiped out. We also are running into a lot of problems with scavengers, like human scavengers going around. And we know that at least in one occasion, they've gone in and finished off survivors from a lunar attack simply to get the goods. No, there's crime everywhere, and we try to keep it to a minimum, but we can't be everywhere at once. There's a lot of space out here.
There's no telling whether if we find to do things, we're going to find a lot of people or a couple of people or fighty-fighty, like fight.
I suppose not.
Right. I'm just trying to figure out if we could have a plan of how to cut people in half if we had to.
Moth, have you heard of the Duthane Caravan? Is that something... She's looking between Moth and Randis. Like, do they travel through this area a lot? Randis?
That sounds familiar, but I haven't been in town for quite some time. So if they came through, maybe some of their goods found their way to something I needed to trade, but I haven't dealt with them directly.
Okay.
Is that what you're...
Yeah, we're looking for that caravan specifically.
Okay, well, some amount of records are kept on caravans that come through, especially if they requisition things like weapons. So we should be able to track them down, at least bureaucratically. If you're coming from the Sage Coast, I'm afraid our bureaucracy is not the impregnable juggernaut that theirs is, but we do try to keep our paperwork dry.
Oh, good.
It's okay. Everybody has babies. But when... I don't understand why that's funny. Damn it. I was in character for a minute and now I'm not anymore. Ah, oh, darn it.
Rob was lost.
Like you, you should just write these down and we'll give them to you after the show, Rob.
For want of a nail, Rob lost. All right, I'm serious too. Hang on, I gotta be dumber. If we're going to get up and start moving early, I figure we probably ought to get some rest tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We've been under a lot of strain. I think Randus could probably use a little time to kind of wind himself down. I don't know that you're going to get a lot of sleep there, but I'd have to try, don't you think?
It'd be nice if none of us had to do watches tonight. I'm sure we'd all benefit from that.
You don't. We'll keep watch.
All right. I trust your expertise here.
Thanks. That means a lot coming from you.
Oh, thank you. Charles' new friend.
Is Randa still here?
Yeah.
Yep.
Kind of picking at my food.
Come on, man. Let's go try and get some rest. See if you can get geared up so we can get move on in the morning.
Okay.
You're not going to do yourself any good poking at that.
Mm. All right.
No,
then.
I think you should eat something, though. Put it in your mouth.
Okay.
In your mouth.
Okay.
Is Charlie even certain that's where foodstuffs goes on Randus anymore?
Yes.
Shoulder opens up.
Mr. Fusion.
Yep.
Just pour in some banana peels and we're good to go. Torque's going to head back to the tent.
Okay.
Good night, Torque.
Going to attempt to take Randus with him if Trell will stop forcing him to feed himself.
No resistance on the part of Randus.
Good night.
Good night.
All right. Since Trell has a tent to herself, then if Ket and Orym are sharing,
I don't know where. Da 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 da.
Ket followed you. Yeah.
Probably.
It's like two Felixes living together.
On the 13th day of the year of the rat, Ket Hazard's god asked him to leave their shared residence.
No, but yeah, exactly. There would be two Felixes, like Brian said. Just be very neat and happy. It'd be wonderful.
Be very, very passive aggressive in a wonderful way.
But that's what makes them happy.
Anyhow.
Where
hi, Rob.
Anyhow, yes. That was the plan, was to follow Orym, like, and bunk in the same run. Let them choose. Then lay down and go to sleep.
Wait for Ket to go to sleep. Go back outside.
Okay.
Kill our friends.
I'm guessing that Randus is asleep inside that tent.
Yeah.
Poke my head in just to be sure. And then I sit down facing the entrance of the tent. And do my warm meditations.
Okay.
You want to face the entrance?
I'm facing the entrance of the tent.
So
I'm not worried about. I'm not worried about anything getting into the tent, as much as I am worried about someone trying to get out of the tent.
Okay.
That assistant.
Yep.
He has ways.
About their nighttime adventures.
They can't keep us.
And now it's weird.
Hey, this is not the one you got to worry about. He can't turn invisible.
True.
That's why he's, you know, sitting in front of your tent to watch for assistant.
He's really good at handing people things, though.
Yes. I don't even know.
I'm not sure what that meant. But I think it's inappropriate.
No.
No.
So, everybody goes to sleep?
Trell still stares at her letter in her tent for a bit, puts it away, and then goes to sleep after difficulty.
Okay. Well, dawn comes by pretty quick. And you're all woken up by the noise long before anybody comes by to wake you up. Well, there's like horses and tents being picked up and fires being put out.
You were like, but Andy! That's a different dawn. Okay, that's my one.
If you guys aren't out of your tent pretty quick, like somebody comes by and breaks it down. I mean, somebody comes by and break it down anyway, but they'll break it down on top of you.
Five guys lifting Torque out of the tent.
So they don't lift you out of the tent. They collapse the tent on top of you and then pull the tent out.
It's probably Torque's a bare floor.
Still lying there on the dirt.
All right.
Nah, I'll be up.
Hey, Charles up.
We got work to do.
Yep. There's a lot of whistling. Not like whistle while you work type whistling, but a lot of like calling.
Mm-hmm.
There are like riders that are coming back in as the camp is broken down. These three guys bring by some horses for you guys.
They're
pretty big, stocky horses. All of them are gray with black, manes and socks. That's what they're called in horses. I don't know.
Something like that.
I think that's right. Like,
no.
I wish.
They could be not boots. Be Argyle.
Tiny hats.
That go over their shoes.
They do not have tiny hats.
Do they have marks on their hips?
remind me to tell you later my thing with police horses and all.
Okay.
And
it's weird again.
It's not like half baked, is it?
They don't, on the front of the reins, like right on their foreheads, they have the same symbol that Moth has on hers.
The little claw?
Yep.
Cool.
That's a neat, cool symbol. I'm going to try and pick the biggest horse.
Okay.
I feel sorry for it anyways.
It doesn't seem to have a problem.
Well, thanks for being mean. Making Torque feel self-conscious
about his weight.
About the fact that he's by far the biggest person in the party.
Torque weighs about 29 stone, I think it is.
I don't know how much a stone is. Anyways.
Yeah. It depends on the stone.
Yeah.
Trell looks... you know that look Aurum gets when he's like doesn't want to be touched? That's how Trell looks.
How Aurum looks all the time.
Like something smells bad under his nose constantly.
Moth comes by and says, don't worry about these guys. They're all pretty well broke.
Well, they are now the Torque's on top of them.
I'm going to name my horse Hoss.
Do you need a hand trail?
No, I'll just talk to it for a second.
Have we ever ridden as a unit before?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
We did during one of the escapes.
I had a vague sense of it,
but I didn't remember.
So three of you have ridden as a unit. Smith wanted to diplomatize the horses.
No, that wasn't. No, that was the other half. That was,
The other half?
Yep. That was all alternate characters. So I don't know if the Torkeltones have.
The other Elven Ranger.
Yeah.
If they did, it was during like the time when you guys were with the caravan. That's all. But I don't think you said.
But no, but there weren't horses then.
Okay.
When I rode the other half, I think I had R5D4 feet. Did I ride a horse?
Yeah, I think everybody booked it out of there on horseback.
I don't know how got on a horse, but
one of our many
angry listeners
will let us know.
Shall us?
You guys totally got it.
Click on the ads. Buy something from Amazon.
Yep. while you're there. Yes.
All right. So, yeah.
Trell picks a horse and is...
Well, Trell is handed a horse after all the guys get on theirs.
She is quietly apologizing to it and petting it a lot.
It goes like this.
That's horse for no problem, lady. Yep. Just shush.
She gets onto it. Oh, can... It doesn't have a saddle, does it?
It does. They're fully saddled and
bridled and
bitted. I think she could do this.
And shod.
Shodded.
Shod. Yeah, but the problem you're going to have is if you take one off syllable. The saddle, somebody's going to have to take the saddle and put it someplace. And do a thing.
Which would probably be on another horse.
Unsaddling a horse is not like a quick operation most of the time.
Well, if it's a... Okay. Not to get too technical, but if this is like a normal like traveling party, like there are horses and then there are other horses that aren't being ridden around.
There are in fact two pack other horses that don't have anything on them, as well as a couple of pack horses and three other horses for the wagon.
Right. And Trell can easily take off a saddle quickly if she can dress a stag in under a minute. I'm sure she can.
Hey, what you and Stagsy do on your first
trip? No. That doesn't even make sense.
I know.
Like, put on this jacket.
But do it slow.
Tea time with Stagsy. And...
Anyways.
Hi, how are
I
you?
Think she'd want to ride it without a saddle, is what I'm saying.
So Trell starts undoing her saddle?
Yep.
Moth just cocks her head. Do you want a new saddle? Is that not to your liking?
No, I prefer to ride with that one. Is that okay?
I suppose.
Where do I put this?
I'll get someone to get it.
Thank you.
And sure enough, somebody comes by and grabs the saddle and takes it over there and throws it on the wagon.
Okay. Trell looks depressedly riding this horse.
Okay.
Torque's having a hell of a good time. me and Hoss have bonded.
Moth moves over to where most people are, gives a big whistle, and then starts riding around, and everybody on the horses kind of starts gathering around, and then everybody starts moving. And you guys are?
Horsin'. So is there anything special you have to do to have horsing skills, or is that just...
No, in D&D there are no...
There's not a ride skill.
There's not a ride skill.
Learn it.
Taking that away because most adventurers should be at least moderately capable of handling an animal.
My guess is that they also did away with it because if you see the ride skill, you're like, oh, that's awesome. I should have a character on horseback. And the moment that you step into the first dungeon, you have to you have to slap Bill the pony and send him away.
All right. Well, I guess we're riding, and I guess that is a good place to stop this week on Critical Hit. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part. Thank you for participating in the comments section over at majorspoilers.com. And if you do have any questions or comments or thoughts or ideas, just send them along to podcast@majorspoilers.com. Be on the lookout for the VIP members section opening soon. We're getting closer to our funding goal every single day. You can find out how you can support us and make sure that this show continues uninterrupted many times to come over at MajorSpoilers.com. And until next time, here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.